Did motherfuckers rap whenever any motherfucking song came on?
I had to stop myself.
I was about to.
And I was just like, you know what? I'm not.
I was getting so fucking pissed off.
I didn't, man, because I hate when people do that shit. I was like, damn, man, I'm about to be one of those people. I really had to hold myself back.
The only song was Hail Mary.
As soon as I came in, because I started doing it too.
I like Hail Mary.
Every Friday, tune in. We're dropping New Music Friday, letting you know what new albums are out, what new albums are dropping previous week. So check that out if you want to keep up to date on what's new and what's out. So anyway, straight out of Compton. I saw it yesterday, and I fucking loved it, man. It took me back, and it was weird sitting there watching that, trying to go back to like where I was and what I was doing and those feelings that I had when that music was dropping. And you read about the stories, right, and you hear about them, but to actually see it played out on screen visually with their input, really, really cool to see. And the movie first opened, and we all knew Eazy-E was crazy as a motherfucker. He didn't give a fuck. When I saw that, I was sitting there watching, I'm like, how the fuck is he gonna get out of this shit? Because I'm like, this motherfucker is not Batman. He is in a bad spot.
Hell yeah, and them cops came with that damn military team knocking out that door.
And they got him out of there. He was like kicking that window. And he got the fuck up out of there. But he did not back down.
He could be four or five dudes surrounding him. He like, y'all think I give a fuck?
Shotgun like on him, like pointed right at him. There was nothing he could do.
But I didn't expect for it to start off like that. I ain't expect for it to start off like on some Boys in the Hood type shit.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's what took me by surprise. I was just like, man, this shit about to be dope as fuck.
And just the way they kind of took everybody's story and just kind of introduced the characters to you. Mm-hmm. Like Dre was always about the music. We saw that.
Right.
Ice Cube was always right. But then he was writing about shit that he seen, like the bus, which was fucking hilarious.
That shit was hilarious.
OG two-tone.
Forget that. Gang banging them books.
That showed you like they were about that life and in that life. There wasn't shit they could do to get out of it. But in this weird sort of way, they always felt that they could save the kids that were coming up.
Yep.
So
and that's
like,
real stuff.
But that's always the neighborhood.
But nobody knows that because nobody ever shows that. Yeah. They don't show these dudes running around shooting each other.
Okay. Right.
They don't show like, look, we do this because we kind of have to, but we don't want you to do it.
Y'all stay from books.
That scene really humanizes the entire movie because we're painted as animals, and this guy really wanted to shoot that kid. You know what I'm saying? When you bought that, he wanted to scare the shit out of him.
But you know about he's a life you don't want to be a part of.
Exactly. But you know that he's about that life, but at the same time, he knows that, look, I'm doing this, you don't have to. Bang these books, you know what I'm saying? Like, because
if you don't, I might be the one that end up killing your ass.
Right. How relevant some of the stuff that we saw in there is today with the cop. Like, Cube just walked out and they tossed his ass on the fucking car.
For no reason. Like, dude,
no fucking reason.
Across the street from his parents. Talking about, hey, that's my son right there. Get the fuck back.
Shut the fuck up.
What you mean? Man, I'm on my block.
Another scene that I thought was interesting when they came out of the street before they did fuck the police.
Yep.
And they threw all of them on the ground, all seven of them. And then the white guy come up, and he just cussing their ass out.
They do shit.
They threatened him, but they still didn't fuck with him. Because when he said, you know the people I know, they thought just for a minute, this motherfucker may know somebody.
Yeah.
And they let the motherfucker go.
Who was the one with the biggest fucking mouth in that scene? The black cop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I keep trying to fucking tell people they don't get it. It's not just white cops. Yeah. It's fucking cops.
They try to impress the like Ice Cube said in the song, trying to impress the white cop. Yeah.
Your master. Didn't the black cop say that to them?
He did.
Yeah.
And I was like,
he was, but
he said, oh yeah, go back in there and obey your master.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that scene, they did that on purpose.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But think about what you're doing, you're the one doing that, not us.
And it was cool seeing them be inspired by making Fuck the Police, right? Because it makes you wonder, like, man, I wonder, did they really write Fuck the Police after literally getting you know, fucked up like the way they was. And yeah, it's like, it's cool seeing them. Ice Cube come in. Oh, I got a song right here.
Yep. Do you remember that whole Detroit thing? So when they were,
and I was thinking, it made me think about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it made me think about you too.
Probably about 8 or 9, something like that.
I was like 9, 10 years old, and my cousin, she was like 18, 19. But I remember they went to that concert. They went to that NWA freaking concert when they shut, you know, when they shut down. You know, the whole concept. She's told me this too. She think it was some cops that reached.
Oh yeah, of course. Because the people wasn't gonna do that. She was like,
I remember when she was like, I remember Ice Cube, you know, put his fist up and he held the song up. And he told Dre, like she described. I remember years ago she described to me that whole scene. When I watched the movie, me and my sister was like, damn, I remember she thought of that. Like, that's crazy. So it just really took me back down memory lane. I thought, and I remember Ice Cube said in the interview that like this movie was 10 years in the making. Watching this movie, mm-hmm. you can tell that they really took their time to really make this movie mm-hmm. as perfect as possible, man. Because you can tell, like you can just tell. Even I think the casting was great. I think, you know, getting up to Suge Knight. You know how sometimes
man,
you
casting is perfect.
Yeah,
and I was a little worried about the casting when I first saw it.
I was too, you know, you gotta think though. These guys were handcrafted into. You know, it wasn't like no producer or mm-hmm. director just going by research. Mm-hmm. You literally had Dre and Cube and mm-hmm. you know DJ yelling them over. You know, right. going over. Hey, look. What better person to talk about experience than the person that actually lived that exact experience? So yeah. I thought that was another reason why this movie struck gold.
And Ice Cube's son did a great job.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Like I said, that's the
mannerisms, yeah. everything. Yeah. Like I felt like I was watching
you. No, but hold on, stop though. Eazy-E. I thought the guy that had played Eazy-E was, he did an exceptional job. You know, for someone, for someone who passed away, and it was like for them to get that guy to play Eazy-E. I thought the boy, he had his voice down back though.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say.
The guy that did Drake.
He was okay. He didn't.
His voice down.
Everybody else had the role down perfect, including Yella.
Yep.
Who they got to play Pac. Like everybody there, they got perfect. Shug. It was just Shug was great.
Yeah.
Looked like Ken. When I watched it, I was like, I'm not really getting Dre from this.
It seemed like he was very positive and on this moral high ground.
But that's what I get from a Dre.
I get that from a Dre. More of a harder feel from Dre. Like I didn't.
Someone in real life.
Real life Dre. Like I get that.
I don't.
I get.
Really?
No, I
didn't. I get from Dre. I get he was one of those dudes that didn't want to fuck you up.
Right.
But he had no problem fucking you up.
But that's what I got from the movie.
I didn't get that from the movie. I got that from that dude.
Like, there were scenes with
him. Because hurt you, cause
he like punched
you.
Like two or three people in the movie.
Yeah. And that's it.
But still, like who else punched people in the movie?
Easy did?
Did he?
Yeah.
I know he pulled out the Mac-10 on somebody.
Yeah.
He pulled out the Suge.
That movie made me really dislike Suge. I'm just like, God damn.
You part of my cartoon.
I was like, nigga.
Yeah, spend up no blood in it. I'm like, damn.
Bro.
Really?
That was that life back then.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, when we say Wu-Tang is about that life.
Suge was the bad guy. People knew Suge as the bad guy. Yeah. And so I felt like they played.
And it's, you see the first time he looked at Jerry Heller?
that is Suge.
It was crazy because I mean, you know, of course, like you said, we're not there to witness it, but it's cool. And they showed the movie like how Suge was around for like he was around that for a long time. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like as far as around like N.W.A. and mm-hmm. Dr. Dre and them, because you know, of course, we didn't see Suge until like Death Row pop off. So we didn't know like
that was interesting.
Yeah, that was interesting. Them showing that little like when they was performing for Jerry Heller when they was trying to get signed. Suge was there. Like Suge
I didn't
was
know
there.
That.
Yeah, I know.
I thought the relationship between Jerry and Eazy-E was very interesting. He was playing Eazy the whole time, and it was so crazy because he trusted him so much, and he was always defending Jerry. You know what I'm saying? Then when he had his girl actually go through all of the receipts and checks and all that, she was like, this hasn't been paid, these bounced, this was canceled. I just felt so bad because Eazy wasn't a bad guy. At least that's not how they depicted
it. That was one of my only issues, is it almost seemed like they took it light on Eazy. Like they made him seem like a little bit nicer of a guy than maybe he was. I don't know Eazy.
Right.
But I'm just judging by what we used to read from back in the day, it seemed like Eazy was really a ruthless ass dude.
Enlighten me a little bit.
About Eazy. That he was just mean.
Because he had guns in the studio all the time.
Interesting. That scene that I just realized that scene that was in the trailer wasn't in the movie.
There was a couple things that was in the trailer was I don't know.
Remember we had the bag and he put that gun in there.
That wasn't in the movie.
Yeah, it was. I know I peeped that early because I was waiting on that moment.
Me too.
And it never happened.
You know what else bothered me about the movie? I like how they showed the progression of the beef with Q and the group. But did you notice how they completely glossed over or just didn't even put in the beef between Dre and Easy? It wasn't there at all.
Wasn't there,
there was that scene where Easy's driving down the street and he looks up and he sees the Chronic sign. Mm-hmm. He's like, bullshit. You would think if back then, if Easy was driving down the street and saw that Chronic sign, he'd be like, man, fuck you.
Right.
Because there were multiple songs on there going at Easy. But they, why didn't they include that?
I always thought they left it out because they didn't want to put attention on that, you know, especially with Easy dying and all that.
They put attention on Q beefing with the crew.
Yeah.
So why would they leave that out? Because, I mean, we saw them reconcile at the end.
Right.
I guess, because, like I said, because Easy, the way he died in the movie, and it, I guess it, from a director standpoint, you want to feel some sort of compassion for Easy.
But you want it to be realistic, too.
You do.
And we all know that that happened, so why just not even put it
in
there? We all know that that was part of the story. So why would you just take out a major part? Because that was when Chronic came out, that was what was causing a lot of tension for us. I didn't, being that young, of course, I didn't even really know that there was that big of a beef between Dre and Easy. We all knew that Cube and the group fell out.
Yep.
I didn't know anything about Easy and Dre falling out.
When we saw the video, that video, we was like, dang, why the hell
I was like, whoa, wait a minute, what is this?
Right.
And you see Crack Eddie Zell playing Easy and dancing around? I was like, wow, that's fucked up. So, but they left all of that out of the story. And then you got him calling him, hey, what up, man? Oh, not man, just chilling. Wait a minute. Like, is that really what happened?
Think about how Dre left that situation. You end up getting, you know, and what Suge did to EZ. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you think EZ is riding down, smiling at the Chronic at that moment.
Man,
like,
your boss
just beat my ass, beat my ass out of your contract, and you think I'm going to be riding around smiling. So, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, they didn't have an amicable split at all.
Yeah.
You know, the way they portrayed it in the movie. EZ ran into a lot of problems when his talent left. When Dre left, when Cube left, that's when Ruthless kind of started to, you know, they had Bone Thugs, but that's when they really started to kind of go downhill. And another thing I thought was interesting, because we always talk about ghostwriting, you know, and that's a big issue, especially now.
Yeah.
But Cube and Ren were really known to write all of the DLC.
And I wish they would have said more about more DLC back.
Yeah, the only thing that they didn't touch on was his accent when he messed his throat.
I was waiting for more story behind
DLC. Yeah, me too, because he had a lot to do with the success of that group too.
That shit was funny when they were playing No Vaseline.
Man,
that's what I'm saying.
Y'all started laughing. That was so fucking funny. I didn't know Yellow was a clown.
I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that at all.
Speaking of clowns, what about the boss? What was his name?
Lonzo.
He was so classic.
Yeah, dude.
He was so classic.
But that also showed like how they perceived hip hop too.
Right.
Yep. You know what I'm saying? So that's also some insights.
I don't want to hear no hardcore game.
Right.
I want my
reality rap.
Want that reality. I want my people thinking about pussy, not guns.
And everybody talking about branding today, but think about the branding they did back there, because they were like Compton. Nobody want to hear rappers from Compton.
Right.
What was the name of the album? Straight out of Compton. You know, and they like came out and they branded not only themselves but Compton. They said, this is where we're from. Not only this is where we're from, but this is the shit that we go through. And that reality rap aspect of it, where they're looking and they're seeing Rodney King getting his ass whooped, and they're seeing the cops get off of it.
Yeah.
And again, I fast forward to today, we're seeing a lot of this stuff play out today, which goes to show that a lot of things haven't changed. And here are guys that are from Compton who spoke out of it in the only way they know how, blunt, direct, to the point, and it's up to you on how you receive the message. But it's not going to change what is occurring. And even when they were threatened, they were really still fighting for the cause because there was a bigger issue.
When they were threatened by the federal
government.
They really wanted to censor it. And it's like, you have no grounds. Like, you have, like, how are you gonna stop
the
me from
FBI,
saying
bro.
The FBI? We're gonna shut down your concert if you say fuck the Pope. Like, what the hell?
That's crazy. I remember that, man. Like,
them and Too Loud Crew.
To see, like, the brotherhood between all of them, I think was really dope. Like, you know, to see the funny moments, them laughing, them, you know, being passionate for each other. Like, the funny moment when Dre tried to get Easy to rap Boys in the Hood when he first, like, like, just like stuff like that. I think that's so dope.
The street in my six, though.
Right.
Oh, I was crying.
Like, yeah, you gotta say, like, you actually doing it, man. Yeah. Like, you doing it.
I remember Dre was talking about that experience, how, like, they was record that song, like, okay, boys, you know, sitting right on the street in my 6 folks. Stop. Like how he had to keep.
Got to punch in.
Yeah, punch in. Like rappers do that now. It just made you think just a technology.
Like we'll be here all day, but we'll get through it.
We'll get through it. And they still got through it, man. But I just like, I like the brotherhood that they showed from each other throughout this whole, you know, movie. But, you know, besides all the business stuff.
Isn't it interesting how, you know, society-wise, how things haven't changed? We're still, you know, cops still doing wilding out and stuff. But music industry really hasn't changed much either.
No.
And how artists are still getting, you know, pretty much fucked out of their money through contracts and stuff like
Ice
that. Ice Cube was a smart one.
And I remember, I remember hearing about when he went into Priority Records and had a bat. And just like,
I heard about that, but to see it,
and then to actually
see his son do it, because I wanted to go back and actually talk about his son playing, you know, his dad. I think it's so interesting to grow up with your father and then play your dad later on and have him kind of in your ear. Yeah, you know, so when we did, like when I was in this situation, this is how I felt. And then for you to actually be able to pull from real life experiences and portray that, is crazy. And I thought that was real interesting for him to actually be able to do it. You know what I'm saying? Because acting is not easy. And there was a lot of question marks about him being picked to play Ice.
He said he had to earn it.
Of course,
I don't know who else you could pick.
Just like any other actor or actress, he went through years of screening. They was really, you know, making sure he was the right person, or anybody else who would play Ice Cube was the right person. I thought he did a good job as far as
I did too. It was like watching Cube. What did you think watching him? Because I know you obviously you didn't grow up, you know, during that time. What was it like for you to sit there and watch that story unfold?
It didn't take me back to a place because, you know, in the early 90s, like, because the movie started in 86. I was 2 years old.
I was 10.
Old ass motherfucker.
I don't care. I was 10. What? I can't run from it. Because I'm sitting there like,
in 10th grade.
It took us to a place, and I'm like, when it said 87, I'm like, that's fucking 10. Like, I wasn't really paying attention to that.
Yeah. Like, when the movie started and I saw 86, I'm like, 2 years old. And then like the majority of the shit happened between like 88 and like 92. At that point I'm like 7-8 years old. I was really sheltered. So like in Chicago I knew that like our major thing was gangs, but I was sheltered from that. But we always heard about the drive-by shootings. So I didn't really know how to relate to that, but just seeing that, I'm like, that shit is really fucked up. Because I've never experienced where I can't just be in front of my house. You know what I'm saying? And then you checking me and patting me. I never experienced that. I never seen that. So for me to see it in this movie and to know how like these hip hop pioneers, this is how, you know, they were brought up in the game and these reality raps, and how Cube in that interview, I thought that was another important piece of the movie when he was like, you know, I'm no different than you.
Yeah.
I'm no different than you. You know what I'm saying? It's just that you know, you do it on TV. I'm a journalist too. I'm just reporting what's happening in my hood. It just opened my eyes to see, you know, even when I was born, what people were dealing with. I'm glad that they did what they did, and I'm glad that they all had their mentality, because another powerful piece was when they got that letter from the FBI, and Easy's like, man, fuck that. Like, almost everybody was kind of shook, and Easy's like, man, fuck that. Let's take this shit to the people. You know what I'm saying? The world could be way more fucked up for us right now. Like, if it wasn't for NWA and for those people really challenging the authority like that. Our world is fucked up now. America is fucked up now. But how much more fucked up could it be? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing I really took away, is that they really had to go through a lot of stuff that a lot of these rappers in the industry now don't even have to even think about.
But I think it goes to the point too. They really took heed in like being responsible, being a, you know, like have a voice for the youth. Like, pretty, I guess you want to say.
Are we really? Well, I disagree.
I think they wanted to.
They may fuck the police, but think about every other song that they made. They were like really misogynistic. I'm not gonna give them that title. That's not fair.
I mean, but, precious though.
But yeah, okay, so you got like three songs out of how many albums?
Two albums.
No, they had three albums.
They had three.
I'm just saying, I'm not trying to downplay NWA, but I'm not gonna sit here and say that they really go into that category. That end was actually pretty sad. Like, I mean, of course, we all knew Easy died.
Yeah, but just to see him, that was good. He played like, Easy really good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I know we saying Ice Cube. I'm like, yo, don't sleep on the die. You gotta play Easy.
I remember, because, you know, I was obviously a teenager at that point, and we heard about AIDS, and it was going around, but you all, you didn't like
that made it real. We was like, oh,
when Easy got AIDS.
And I think it was good for them to show what happened during why he was in the hospital. Because, you know, we didn't, of course, we didn't see it. We didn't see what was the emotion going on inside the hospital. Mm-hmm. So the only thing we saw was a dude speaking, his attorney or somebody speaking, like, he has full blown AIDS, And we just, every day, you just like.
And that's something that wasn't true, too, because Dre actually didn't go see him, and or Q. Neither one of them actually went to go see him at the hospital.
I had always read that they did. I always read that Dre did. Yeah, Dre said he went and saw him. And Ice Cube said that he went to the door and didn't go in. I always read that.
Dre literally said he saw him. I remember he was laid up in the hospital and I'm looking at him. He had a tooth thing in his mouth and I'm sitting there looking at him and I'm thinking in my head, damn, all this stuff we. Dre literally said that.
Dre was always saying he was upset that Easy wasn't awake so he could actually rectify things with him.
Right. Yeah. I thought that was a powerful scene because you really saw that. It was kind of like, fuck, like, we should have been had this conversation. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's like, I'm talking, I know you don't hear me. And I'm just kind of saying it, but it was sad. It was real sad.
So what, MC Rams, we haven't really, what did you guys think about the after the play? You know?
Yeah, he didn't have a big role. The little parts, he had some parts. It was funny. Kind of funny. Yeah. But,
Brandon Yella didn't really have very prominent roles there, and I guess they did that because we all knew NWA as Dre, Cube, and Easy.
Yeah.
So it really, I mean, that, I don't think that was a diss to them. I think that was just the way things were. Those were facts. Yeah. I don't think anyone was picking up an NWA record looking for Ren versus, even though Ren was a dope rapper.
Right. Underrated as hell.
Once Ice Cube left,
But I'm just saying, I think that everybody knew the voices of NWA being Easy, Dre, and Cube. I'll tell you, the Tupac part gave me chills. When they went through the studio and he was in there rapping Hail Mary, I was like, God damn, that looks like Pac.
Yeah.
That is Pac. Yeah. Notorious. Why didn't y'all do that?
Yeah.
This dude, like, I don't know who this guy is, but that dude was Pac and he played him perfectly.
That's crazy. He did some of the sessions for Machiavelli.
I didn't know that either.
All Eyes on Me. That's crazy.
This movie definitely put out a lot of stuff that I was not actually aware of.
What y'all think about Snoop scene when he first came in?
He did sound like Snoop. When he came on screen, I'm like, nigga don't look like Snoop. But Snoop always has a...
No, I know he had...
No, I'm just talking about his face. He didn't look shit like Snoop. But as soon as he opened his mouth, I said, okay.
He wasn't as tall as Snoop.
But you can see Snoop coming in the studio doing...
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
All with the crib, right?
Coming in.
When he came down the stairs and Dre was making the thing, he was like, I'm not talking about... I got something for that. One, two.
Yeah, I didn't like that part.
It was kind of corny.
But the part where he was trying to figure out the beat was
that was dope. That was really dope.
Yeah.
And you're just waiting for him.
I'm gonna go see it again. I think that's how you should make a movie. And I think the people should be involved, and I think you should try to stick to the script as much as possible. You know, and they did it well, and I'm glad they took their time telling the story. Because we do have some bad movies out there, and I would definitely like to see. I want to see what Wu-Tang next, but anyway,
that would be interesting.
Yeah, that would be
a lot of motherfuckers.
I encourage everybody to go watch it, especially you young cats. I think you guys would appreciate that.
If you are a hip hop fan, you know what I'm saying, you should go watch this because it'll definitely, you know, get your history lesson up like it did for me, because I was obviously born during this time, but I was too sheltered, I was too young. Like, that was so far removed from my everyday life that I didn't know any of that stuff. Obviously, I knew about Rodney King, but I didn't know about the NWAs and, you know, the music and the stuff that fueled it. So I thought overall it was dope. And then, you know, to see the Pox and the Shugs and how all of these guys were so, you know, little parts of the story. But then, you know, they became the... Like Shug became, he was a bouncer that became a manager that became a fucking record label owner. You know what I'm saying? So it there's a lot of things that you don't know that you know now because of this movie. So definitely go check it out. You know what I'm saying? Like Ken, I'll probably go see it twice. Dope movies for me, I always go see them twice. I like to support. So definitely, if you don't know about Dre, I don't know where the hell you've been, but if you just love hip hop, you're a hip hop fan, go watch the movie.
10 years to put this together, and it really showed. And this, the acting was, I thought the acting was good, casting was good. Of course, you know, me, Ken, and Mike, and Modest, you know, of course, we remember hearing some of the stories, but just seeing some of the background stuff is really interesting to see. And, it just takes me back, like, man, just why I just love Q and Q. I love Q so much, man. No Vaseline. That movie's just solidified Vaseline is now like my number one. I know I was always tied with that and Real Motherfucking G's, but. And then, like, hearing No Vaseline again is like...
It's like he took out the whole crew.
Man, he took out... It was bars on crew. Top of bars.
And the manager.
On top of bars, dude. Like, that is a diss track. That is a true diss track to me. I would see that movie again. It's a good movie, man. Check it out.
It was really cool seeing just how fucking nuts Eazy-E was. I knew he was kind of mean and that kind of shit, but I didn't know that he was that fucking just out his goddamn mind. And I didn't know that he was that controlling of the group either. I mean, I knew that there had to be a figurehead, of course, but I didn't know he was that much of the figurehead. I also didn't know that Dre was actually like
a DJ.
DJ. I did not know that part.
It makes sense too. Like when you,
it does make sense. Yeah. I just didn't know it. I think this is a kind of movie that I think would be good for people that know N.W.A. and people that don't know N.W.A. because there were a lot of people in the theater that I could tell did not know anything about N.W.A. because. All you heard was, oh my God. And then when they said, Eazy-E has full-blown AIDS, oh my God, no. And they all really enjoyed it. Mm. So yeah, it was a great movie, really well written, really well acted, 2.5 hours of quality. It was really well done. So I think all of you guys should go check this out. Mm-hmm.